So 9:37 a.m. April 6th. Good morning. A little bit late this morning. I got stuck behind taxi duty, and then I had to stop at the grocery store and all kinds of chores already. The day's off to a rough start. It's a Friday. Does not bode well for the rest of the day. Let's see what I can do. Yesterday was pretty much taken up with writing. I wrote a couple thousand words yesterday. And audio work. I had this file that's been sitting around forever that I need to get out for Tony C. Smith. And I spent, I want to say 2 hours, 2.5 hours editing, patching, filling, trying to make it work. And what I realized, after 2.5 hours, I had 20 minutes of a 55-minute recording edited. In part, I decided that I needed to, it was a mess. So I decided, in part, to redo it today. I need to reread it. The problem is the syntax in the story was built for the page. It was not built for audio. So there are a lot of sentences that are really long. There are a lot of sentences that have very little punctuation. There are a lot of sentences that have convoluted structure so that trying to say them smoothly was apparently more than I was capable of on the day that I was doing that recording, because most of them didn't. So there's spots where there's pace, there's spacing, and the intonation doesn't work if I take the spacing out. The space doesn't work if I leave it in. It just sounds like crap. So I'm going to have to reread it. But that's my goal for the weekend, to get this silly story done. Oh, and I started writing another story, so I got to get that one done too. I didn't work on Stay Furious Call. I know that's what I'm supposed to be working on. I'm just working. I got my head down. I'm working. Stuff will get out when it gets out. That's all I can say. If I miss the Parsec Awards, I miss the Parsec Awards. I've been there every year for 5 years. Somebody else can have a chance. There. I said it. So, yeah. It's 9:30. Morning's late. It's really too warm. I'm wearing my parka and a sweater. I don't have on my my fleece hood. So you'll probably hear a lot of wind artifacts. There's also a lot more traffic here this time of day than normal. I'm going to go home. My wife is homesick today. So that's going to be an obstacle to work around. And we'll do what we can do. So let's see, what am I thinking about this morning? This morning is Education Day. I opened up my reader and realized that I hadn't opened up Google Reader since, I want to say, like Wednesday of last week. I think it was the last day that I opened up Google Reader. I was at the office at MWG Publishing and had a good connection there, so I scanned down through my reader, called out a bunch of stuff, and it's full again. And not too surprising, it fills up in a day. If I don't look at it in a day, it goes over 1,000 unread stories in less than a day, in like 8 hours, 9 hours. It'll give me 1,000 unread stories. Which is why I have all of my bookmarks, all of my feed, arranged by category. So when I'm really short on time, and I'm not really interested, I might go to the news feed that'll have 600 unread messages, unread posts, and I might scan the first few that show up in the BBC, and then mark the rest as read and move on. I might look at the first few in Al Jazeera, and then mark the rest as read and move on. Reuters is the worst, because on Reuters, for some reason, the same story gets posted over and over and over and over and over. I don't know if it's because they edit it, and every time they edit it, it gets a new timestamp, which puts a new entry in their feed. I don't know if it's because I subscribe to a couple different feeds. So World, US, Technology, Odd. And if a story appears in more than one category, I'll get it in each of those categories. It's kind of a pain, but there's not a lot of stuff that occurs. Well, actually, there is. There's a lot of stuff that occurs in Top Story US or Top Story Technology. Once in a while, Top Story Technology in US all pop at once. World news is less repetitive. But I tend to rely on Al Jazeera for that anyway. So I was looking at my education blog today. I was looking at the students that I've been ignoring for almost 2 weeks now. And I left them, I'll be leaving them a blog podcast later today, talking about some of the things that I'm seeing. And one of the chronic issues has reared its ugly head again. And we're starting the Jenkins book this week on dealing with participatory culture. It's actually a white paper report published as a response to some research done by Pew. Oh, that's going to be irritating. I hope it doesn't show up too badly on the audio. And the Jenkins is an ebook, so they can pay $10 and get a hard copy, or they can read it in the ebook format, which is what I recommended. A lot of them are, and this is just the executive summary this week. It's just the high-level overview of what that's going to be covering. It's a very dense work. The chapters are relatively short, but they're filled with ideas. One of them is the notion of participatory culture to begin with, which actually is a problem for education as a whole. What we do in podcasting, what we do in social media, what we do in blogging, that's a problem for education because the meat of it, the real important part of it, the part of it that is the crux, quite frequently occurs in the interaction. It doesn't occur in the post. It doesn't occur in the comment. It occurs in the juxtaposition of post and comment. It occurs in the listener response to a podcast. It occurs in the tweet stream for a particular hashtag. That's where, in simplistic terms, that's where the value lies. That's where people, kids, everyone really, who has not yet learned how to cope with the participatory culture gets lost. Because school teaches you that your work is the only work that matters. School teaches you, sit in your seat, pay attention to your own paper, and turn in your own work. And while to a certain extent there's a value there, on another very much broader canvas, you know, there's a liability there. Because by teaching people that the only thing that is of value is that thing which they produce by themselves, alone, without interaction with anyone else, means art lacks context, which means, by extension, it's not art. So there's this interesting kind of dynamic, this continuum of tension between what is your work and what is open. I think we see that a lot played out in the intellectual property debates, where piracy is evil, or piracy is free advertising. This idea that piracy might be free advertising is such an anathema to so many people. It's difficult to cope with. It's difficult to deal with because it's sort of like PC or Apple. It has much less about the logic of the argument and much more about philosophical bias. Yeah. And here is the source of the noise. Try to walk by quickly so that we get as little of it as possible in the headphone. It's an electric saw, and only one of two sources of noise so far today. Everybody's really busy outside today. I can't understand why. It's a gorgeous, beautiful day, almost too warm to be outside. And a day where I'm not going to be outside. I'm going to be tucked away in my recording booth and then settled in with headphones. Although I do have to go pay a visit to the local credit union. We've fallen below minimum balance. We've fallen below minimum activity. They're assessing us a $10 penalty per month, which has pretty much eaten up everything that's been there. And I'd just go close the account, except that we may want to buy a car, and the credit union has the best rate for auto loans. So we sort of have to bite the bullet and park a few bills in the credit union just to have the privilege of getting a loan from them later. I mean, we could apply again later, but having gone through the process once, it's worth it to me to not have to go through it again. So, anyway, this idea of participatory culture and how we train adults, for that matter, to deal with participatory culture is an important issue that these teachers, most of whom are classroom teachers, will have to try to cope with, have to try to deal with. It's going to be an interesting challenge for them to shift their thinking from what does the student pass in and how do I grade it, to how do I grade what they say to each other. And I've just confessed to them in this morning's podcast that a lot of what this course is modeling a course that's based on participatory culture, that the value of the course is not necessarily what they're reading. It's not what I am saying. It's how they are relating to each other, how they are participating in the space that we've created by linking together blogs. That's the significant part. That's the important issue. It's why I could go away for a week and have the conversations continue, because my input into the conversation is just one of 20 voices. My input into the conversation is one from the other side of the degree process, but mine is only one of all of the voices. This coat is too much. It's really warm out here, and I'm wearing a fleece sweater that's way overkill for the day. I could be out here in a t-shirt. It'd be quite comfortable. Other than the fact that the sun is high enough in the sky that any exposed skin is probably going to get pretty toasted between now and the time I walk from here to the back gate. At any rate, participatory. It's really the way the world works. I mean, it's how we're working here in this space, where I leave voice comments and you leave text messages, where people talk about what's going on in other places, making reference to things that happen here, where we participate in constructing meaning. Now, for this podcast, it's much less about my brain dump and verbal exhalations than it is really too much of anything else. But there's still some value there. There's still conversations that happen that carry meaning beyond the original podcast, that carry insight and understanding beyond what any one of us might be saying. And I think it's interesting that occurs even on this most humble of participatory efforts. Interesting perspective, interesting ideas, and I'm really, really interested to see how they deal with the issues relating to access, because we're already hearing, there's a couple of people who've already said something along the lines of, well, yes, this is all well and good, but, you know, we're from a poor district, and not everybody has access to all these wonderful tools from home. One of the main points that I made in the podcast to them this morning was that this idea that every student has access to school on an equal footing is really dangerous, because when you believe that even something as basic as access to the school building is not universal, then you begin to see some of the decisions that we make based on arbitrary cutoffs, like, well, poverty or addiction or illness or whatever. And we can't do this because there may be students who are visually impaired, or we can't do that because there may be students who are deaf, or we can't do this other thing because there may be students who can't afford it. There are already students who don't have access. There are already students that can come to the school but can't have access to education because of something that happens outside of the school. This is one of the problems we have with high-stakes testing, of course, because a lot of what governs the ability of a student to learn has very little to do with what the teacher does in the classroom, and has everything to do with what mom or dad does at home.
Morning.
And we're not talking about the common abuse scenarios. We're talking about simple things like, if a child does not come from a home where the parents read, there's a value statement there that the children come home with, they come to school with. Parents don't read, there are not books in the home. Or there's a sick granny in the home, or whatever. In some cases there's addiction, alcohol, drugs. In some cases it's a dysfunctional parent unit, pair, or a single parent. These all contribute, and yet none of what we think of from the mainstream education perspective, none of what we think of in terms of education performance or learning takes any of this stuff into consideration, because what matters is whether or not the kid passes the test. Not whether or not the kid learns something, whether or not the kid leaves the class smarter, wiser, more able to cope with the world as he finds it, but whether or not the kid passes the test. It pisses me off. I don't know how we're going to change it, but it pisses me off. I've been asked if I want to do the course again this summer, the 30-day course, a week per day worth of work course. And for $500 a week, I'm not sure it's worth it. I'll have to see. I'm thinking about it, but wow, that's a lot of work for very little payback in a system that really doesn't want to hear what I have to say. But maybe they should. However, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. I'll talk to you then.